basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
All right. Good morning. Come on in. Hey, we're going to be in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. As we're picking up our study through Romans. So turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning and this opportunity to come and to worship you. And now we're going to just study your word and find out how much more you love us. And that in turn, Lord, we can just turn around and love each other even more. So thank you, Lord. And thank you for that we can leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you than when we came here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11 as we're just continuing our study through. And remember, Romans chapter 9 was Israel's past. Romans chapter 10 was Israel's present, which we discussed a while back. And now Romans 11 is their future. And so that's what we're going to be discussing this morning, is their future. And so here in Romans 11, but it's also our future as well. And it gives you a reason. And as we've been discussing here, or I've been discussing, hopefully you've been listening, is that you can take chapters 9, 10, and 11, put them to the side, and go from chapter 8 all the way to chapter 12, and you're not going to miss a beat. This is a parenthesis. This is a backstory. This is a cutaway. This is to try to understand what's going on, because these are the questions. Now, remember the context. The Roman Empire had kicked Jews and Christians out. In fact, the spies who were in the Christian church, or it was easy to find out who the spies were, they actually were reporting to the emperor saying, don't get rid of the Christians. They're not your issues. They're actually praying for the king. They're actually praying for you. They're not going to bow down and worship you and take a pinch of salt or incense and say you're their God. But they're actually really, really good citizens. Now, again, we have the actual reports and things that, from history. Those documents are still in existence today. And so we have this history of that. But the emperor kicked out Jews and Christians together. But yet the Christian church, the Gentile church, was continuing to thrive. And now Jewish believers are coming back in. And they're bringing back the Judaizers. They're bringing back that you first must be a Jew, then you can become a Christian. Now, we know that that should have been done away with, because by 70 AD, which Romans was written before 70 AD, we know that the temple is going to be destroyed. Jesus already said it's going to happen. And so there would be no need further for Judaism as they know it and they do it right now. And remember, by the time Jesus showed up on scene, Judaism was pretty much called Judaism. It wasn't worshiping God. It was led by the rabbis. It was led by the sages and mystics. And they had all types of rules and regulation, because when mankind makes things up, they make things up and they make their own rules and regulations. And so here, now Paul, this was already discussed and solidified and put to rest by Acts chapter 15, where Paul says, you Judaizers keep saying you're coming from Jerusalem? Fine, let's just go back to Jerusalem. And they have, again, your idiot notes. The publishers are just trying to help you out, and they'll put the first council. There was no first council, because they didn't know there was going to be other council. It was just they got the leadership together, and they said, do we have to become Gentiles? These Gentiles, do we have to become Jews, and then we can become Christians? And they're like, well, let's look this whole thing out. And so Acts chapter 15. But they're still coming in. And understand this, is that the church does not and has not replaced Israel. Some people have come up with things because of 70 AD. You can call Israel by any other name. The Romans tried to rename it, but it was always Israel. There's always been Jews in Israel. Not every Jew left Israel. And so there's always been a Jewish presence there. And so here, you can call it by any other name, but it's always been Israel. And then people would start to say, some scholarly people would start to make up things, thinking that it was, someone would say, well, there's a contradiction. We're going to get in the book of Revelation later this year on Thursday nights. And And there's a contradiction there. That's when someone tries to point out to you there's a contradiction in the Bible. Make no mistake, there are no contradictions in the Bible. You and I contradict it. And then whenever someone decides to walk away from the Lord or do their own thing, they'll usually couch it in terms like, well, I found a conflict with the Bible. Is that that's their reason. Like, oh. And then usually I have a guy who says, I have a conflict with the Bible. Yeah, what's her name? Who are you living with? Or some of the girls, who are you living with? What's going on there? You have a conflict. You know, it's God's word here. And so Israel is not replaced by the church. And that replacement theology should have been done away with since May 14th. Bet it all in double jeopardy when you get that answer, all right? You get that question. So true daily double. But you do that, right? It should have been done away with. And again, as I lead tours and have been to Israel, I'll take our group through a couple of places. All right. Now I didn't grow up in a denomination. I grew up as a cultist, so I don't know churches and stuff, but I remember going to two different places in the old city. We went to the Church of the Tomb of Mary. Some of you don't understand what that. How could there be a tomb of Mary when in 1863 in the Vatican I Convention, the Pope said, who believes he's God's man on earth, says Mary ascended up into heaven. So they ordered the Church of the White Fathers to close that church in Jerusalem. And they go, it's a moneymaker. People, pilgrims are here. So it's still in existence today. So I take some of you former Reverend Catholics and I'll take you by here. Here's the Church of the Tomb of Mary. And some of them go, why would there be a tomb? Now, because it's a moneymaker and people still go there, this is the Tomb of Mary. If she didn't ascend to heaven, this is where she would have been buried. So you could have come and seen the future home. Mary. The second place I like to take people in the old city of Jerusalem is inside the Jaffa Gate. There's a church that meets there, and they have said that they are the true Israel. And they've been there pre-World War I, before Israel, before May 14th. They were there before. So they kept saying, we're the true Israel. And when I take people to in Israel, and we tour Israel, and Israel is real, and we go there, and they still say that they are the true Israel, but they're living in Israel. And their founding father, or the people who started that denomination, said, well, we have become the true Israel. And we're the spiritual Israel and the true Israel. And they take some of their text here from Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. But Israel is in existence today. So let's go to chapter 11. So now you have some context here. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid! For I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham and of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot you not what the scriptures say of Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel? Lord, they have killed the prophets. This is Elijah. Lord, they have killed the prophets and have digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. This is from 1 Kings chapter 19. Now, Elijah had a great battle. If you remembered, if not, you go back and read 1 Kings. They said, listen, we're going to have a God contest. You worship your gods. I'm going to do the one God. And they're up on the Mount Carmel. And the 450 prophets of Baal are there. And they're worshiping. They're cutting themselves. And I'm telling you, you got to go to 1 Kings, man. That is some biblical trash talk in there. I love it. Because they're cutting themselves, they're doing stuff as the day's going on and on and on. They're putting up these sacrifices. And Elijah's over there goes, where's your God? Why isn't he showing up? And I like the ones that, maybe he's covering his feet. Now you have to understand what that means. That means they took out their cloak, their stuff like that, and they're going to the bathroom. And that's what you did. You covered your, that's what it means. Maybe he's in the bathroom. That's some biblical trash talking, folks. I mean, and you read through verse, and he is trash talking them all along. And then finally, by the end of the day, they're cutting themselves, they're doing stuff, they're like, they're adjuring. And he just prays to the God, the only God there is. And he goes, whoosh. And he takes up his sacrifice, their sacrifice and dries up all the water because they were pouring so much. And this is what Elijah does. He goes, I'm going to tell you, here's my sacrifice. Pour water on it. This is some trash talking. And they're pouring water. And it's so much, it fills the trench all the way around. He goes, watch this. Maybe he didn't go, but it's just my improvisation. Because I would. And I was like, you might want to stand back. Whoosh, they're gone. And then all the people are like going, oh. And he goes, now go kill the 450 prophets of Baal. And they go do that. But there's something else that the Bible tells us in Hebrews, that these are carnal men. And they are of just like passions of you and I. This to me would seem like a great victory. To say, you know, God. But then Jezebel, King Ahab's wife, writes a letter and says, as you've done to them, I'm going to do to you. Well, first of all, how could she do that? Because she has no God that she believes in who could do that. So, and then he fears and he runs away. And this is where he says, so he's in his cave and he's thinking he alone is left. Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars and I am left alone and they seek my life. Sometimes what you can do, and this is what Paul's saying here in Romans 11. Again, there's in this parentheses, chapters 9, 10, and 11. Now there's a parentheses in the parentheses. There's another story that's going on here to try to get the point across. He says, but he said the answer to God said unto him, I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So whenever you're thinking that you're alone, whenever you're thinking that it's just you, it really isn't. Oh, I know, you've been told you're unique and special. Well, that's just like everyone else, right? And so here, I have 7,000 others. It looked bad because she goes and she kills the priests and she has them all destroyed. She has them all stuff and he takes off running. And so here, I am alone. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Verse 5, Romans 11. God, there's always going to be a remnant. And God says, I've preserved them. I've done that. I've got this. Listen, as Paul says here, I'm of the seed of Abraham, out of the tribe of Benjamin. Some people have got into some really quirky things, like the lost 10 tribes of Israel. And they're trying to say America or England, and I'm part of the lost 10 tribes. But do you know there's something God can't do? I mean, there's a few things. He can't stop loving you. And he can't get lost. And these are his. And so it tells us in the book of Revelation that he's going to bring back together 12,000 devout Jewish virgin men, and they're going to be evangelists, 144,000. Not Jehovah's Witnesses, but 144,000. There's another organization that said they're the 144,000, and they misapply scripture. He knows who's from every tribe. And so here, you get into all these quirky things here that you don't need to. And he says, but I who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. So quit your tears. Who wants to hear that? And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Remember, we've already seen that in Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about that contextually. Think about that theologically. People actually work their way to hell. They work their way, and they put all this labor in, and they still end up. And listen, hell, I'm not talking about just the fire and brimstone. That's bad enough. But what makes hell so unbearable is there is no presence of God. Knowledge of God will be there. Because it tells us in the book of Revelation, it tells us other places, that you will be tormented for all eternity by your passions. And there'll be no presence of God there. That's hell. And so here, he tells us that again, by election, then it's no more election. It's no more work. What then? Verse 7. It tells us there, verse 6, and if by grace, then it is no more of works, and otherwise of grace is no more grace, but as it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Again, if you're taking notes, he's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 4. So remember, there's nothing new in the New Testament. It's all in the Old Testament concealed. And everything in the Old Testament is in the New Testament revealed. So this is all Paul's doing. So as the New Testament is being lived out and being written, all he's doing is just taking the scriptures and applying them to right now. Verse 7, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. Now he's referring back to what we would say Romans chapter 9, verse 31. Remember, chapters 9, 10, and 11, they're all going together here. In fact, go with me to Romans chapter 9, verse 31. And he tells us here in verse 31, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Now, we study verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book every week here. I'm not that bright to come up with my own messages, so... Here, that's what he's playing off of here in Romans chapter 9, verse 31, is that they're trying, and they're trying earnestly to work for it. And even at the Mount Sinai, so they're not even, by the time Jesus shows up, they're not even practicing Mosaic or Mount Sinai Judaism, if they want to call it Judaism. God gave them the law and said, if you're going to try to obtain this, and all the way back in Exodus, God said, you cannot keep it. But what did the people say? Yes, we will. Okay. It's not going to work out for you. But you're trying to obtain it. What then is Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election obtained it, and the rest were blinded? Now a parenthesis, within the parentheses, and now here comes another parenthesis, verse 8. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, and the eyes that should not see, and ears that should not hear. Jesus said these words, quoting Isaiah, when his disciples asked him, why do you speak in parables? Because those who say they see won't be able to see those, and those who say that they hear won't hear this. It's just that obvious. That's why the religious elite, the Pharisees especially, and the scribes, were just saying, well, and then they often say things, does he talk of this parable of us? You say that you're a light to the blind, and you are sight to the blind, and you're light to those. You say, but yet... you don't do these things. According as it is written, verse 9, and David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and recompense unto them. That's King David. And again, he's quoting Psalm 69, verse 22, a recompense. In other words, we have this table, this is ours, we're here. But now it's going to become a trap to them. We're working for it. We're doing all these things. And then they're getting upset at God because they're not getting what they want. But God never told them to live that way. It's by faith. It's by grace, that unmerited favor that God has given to them. And yet they are trying to make Gentiles try to become Jews. Get what happens here. You're a Jewish male, or you're a Gentile male, and you want to become a Christian, then you got to become a Jew. I don't know if you know about Judaism, but I know two kids. One was circumcised within the first month of his birth, and one, because of medical reasons, was circumcised when he was 12 years old. I'm not going to say who, but one of them remembers their circumcision. And so here, that's a tough gig. And the Judaizers are like, yeah, that's what you got to do, man, if you want to be close to God. It's never Jesus and, it's just Jesus, period. And so here, it's a stumbling block. Look at verse 10. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their back always. Again, he's quoting Psalm 69, verses 22 and 23. This is King David. Now, King David often had prophetic words. He often functioned in the not only as king, but sometimes as prophet. And he would prophesy and have these words of knowledge that the Holy Ghost was given them there. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. We see that all the way back in Acts chapter 13, don't we? They're saying, well, look, you guys are living in such a way. And you're saying you have a relationship with God, and they've done that. You look at Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says, now they took notice of these uneducated, ordinary, ignorant men. What a compliment, right? And they could not withstand the wisdom and the knowledge they had, and they realized that these men had spent time with Jesus. Not their cemetery degree, not their education, not their all. They could win, they're the ringer at Bible trivia. You always have that one on your team. These are people that they're just exemplifying. They're like, these guys look like they have a relationship with God. And so here, I had a lot of friends in Israel, and Ari Abramowitz. You can go to our website, and you're gonna have to scroll back a lot of years and listen to Ari's message that he gave. And I had him share, and everyone he knew, he's a non-believer. He was raised in Texas, but he's a Jew, and he aliyahed to Israel, and he came. And I said, now this is gonna blow your mind, because this guy has passion. But it's a legalistic righteousness. And you can listen to that study, and you would think you're at any Calvary Chapel pastor, because he properly exegeted that passage. He just had no New Testament fulfillment. And he was passionate about Israel and their Messiah coming back. And you go back, Ari Abramowitz, and I'm like, and people were like, I can't believe, and they were just talking, and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Good, no, that's for you guys. That's not for me. But yet he properly taught that passage of Scripture, and that was my whole example. I said, look, he has passion. He has conviction, but they're waiting for the Messiah. They're waiting for the Messiah. And so here they have this. And there's this zeal. I could tell you about Ari, all right, but I had him just come and do it. And everyone's just like going, no way. And I go, there's a living example. And he knew I was going to use him. He said, I just want you to do what you do. And I'm going to have people go, it's hard for us, right there in front of him, it's hard for us to believe that this guy does not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and yet he passionately, with conviction, and actually properly taught that section of Scripture. Just no fulfillment. He's still waiting for his Messiah. And they're all like, oh. And many people are like, well, I'm a believer. But here's what Ari said. You won't hear this on audio. He goes, and after the teaching was over, he goes, I had to come here as he was visiting the United States. This is 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And he goes, as I was visiting the United States, he goes, and I spoke around. This is the first Christian group that I met with. And the only reason he could meet with us is because he's forbidden to come into, well, you guys call this a sanctuary, but I call it my class. But we were meeting on a midweek at the park like we do during the summer. And because he wasn't in a church building, he was able to come and to talk. And he goes, I'm just astounded. You guys... Does anyone remember this? You guys, you have something that I've been looking for. You talk about having a relationship with God that makes you sure that you go to heaven when you die. I'm looking for that, but it looks like you have it. I want, and he goes, I wanted to come here because I know your pastor. I've met him in Israel and been friends over the years. And he goes, when I've gone to Israel, I've been on his radio show, he's been on mine, we've recorded things, and he goes, I just look into your eyes and I see that passion and I see that this peace that you have. I'm telling you, it's through Jesus Christ. And he's like, no, I can't do that. Still to this day. I pray for him. He's on the front lines there in the Gaza, and he's a IDF sniper, and so he's busy. But this is a guy who has this passion. And I can see this. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see, and bow down their backs always. Verse 11, I say then, have they stumbled that they should not fall? That they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles to provoke them to jealousy. And that's what Ari was explaining. To jealousy. Now if the fall of them be riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? God is not done. Listen, as we go into the book of Revelation, that seven-year tribulation period that Daniel talks about in Daniel chapter 7, Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 9, and in Revelation and 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, that seven-year tribulation period is dealing with the nation of Israel and anyone else who's left on the face of the earth, whether it be flat earth or round earth. Who's ever there? All right. I appeal to both here. All right, so... Whether we went to the moon or not, otherwise it was a good movie. But listen, the truth and the reality of this is that we have salvation now. There was always a way for Gentiles to become a Jew. There was a way to proselytize in them. But as Ari would tell me, and not him, but his other rabbi friends, and I know some Orthodox rabbis who would tell me, the only reason God created Gentiles was to fuel the fires of hell. And I still meet my Orthodox friends, and we still meet and break bread. I said, you okay, even though I'm here to fuel the fires of hell? Yes, but I'm paying for lunch. Not a problem. All right. Still that. Now, if the fall of them become the riches of the world and the diminution of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? There is going to be a fullness. The church did not replace Israel. For I speak to you, Gentiles, insomuch as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I have magnified mine office. But if by means that I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be reconciled in the world, what shall be the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And you know, that's why the whole thing, born again in John chapter 3, it's not a New Testament term. It's once you were dead, now that you're alive. Jesus didn't make up a new term. The New Testament writers did not make this thing about being born again as Old Testament. But he says here in the New Testament that we have, or this new covenant, this new contract that God has made, it's been fulfilled in Jesus. Now we use that term born again a lot because now we have application. My friend Ari and my Orthodox friends, they know all about being born again. We call it a baptismal. They call it a mikvah, where you go ceremonial washing. And now we have a New Testament application of going down into the water and coming back up. For if the first fruits, verse 16, if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. Who's the first fruits? Jesus Christ from amongst the dead. So again, if you haven't caught the other chapters that we've gone over, that's what he's referring to. This is his letter. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, with them partakers also of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. This isn't a New Testament thing. Jesus goes all the way back and he talks about, I'm the vine, you are the what? The branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So he tells us here that the root of the fatness of the olive tree boasts not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. You're just this branch, but yet you're connected to the root that we know that to be Jesus. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, thou standest by faith, be not high-minded, but fear. This is what replacement theology is. This is what led to another genocide during World War II with 6 million Jews being murdered. Because again, many would see the signs above the oven saying, here enters the killers of God. They took the anti-Semite. And listen, I love my Lutheran brother, but Martin Luther did not break that far away from the Catholic Church, and he was very anti-Semitic. They're the killers of God. That is what the enemy used. You can go and look this history up for yourself. Just don't take Pastor Chick's word for it. But go look this up. And they were very anti-Semitic. And they used other people's writings who misunderstood the scripture and would apply and say that the church is Israel and it's okay. Listen, because of their unbelief. But you and I stand by faith. So be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Now, this is unfortunate where some would say you can lose your salvation. You can't. Now, listen to this thing. I hate talking about it, but this thing called Calvinism was started 100 years after John Calvin. This is a guy who was just trying to work out some things, the salvation. He didn't break far from the Catholic Church as well. He got Augustine's writings and Origins, and he tried to develop them a little bit. But about 100 years after him, some other scholarly guys got together, and they started this thing, Calvinism, and you can't lose your salvation, but you're elected, and all those who are going to go to hell, go to hell, and all those who go to heaven, go to heaven. That's it. There's nothing you can do about it. It's very fatalistic. But there's another guy after that named John Arminius, and they have this thing called Arminianism. Now, look, if I started a cult, it would be chickism, and we would just go around looking for really good food. That would be our thing, all right? You'd be a foodie, all right? But here the thing is, it is that they take a scripture out of context. All right, so let me show you what it's like. When you take a verse out of context, you make it a pretext. Go with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. I have this one memorized, but it's after Proverbs, after Solomon. You go over there, or Isaiah, you got Ecclesiastes. Before the Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19. Now, as a former criminal, I would call Ecclesiastes evidence. This guy kept a journal of his backsliding. You don't do that. But Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 19, a feast is made for laughter and wine make life merry, but money answereth all things. Do you find something in your spirit, something wrong about that? Maybe put that on your next album there, Brendan, and something like that. Maybe go on the Money Answers All Things tour, whatever. But you got to read the verses before it and after it. But that's taking a verse out of context. You make it a pretext. You make it say whatever you want. Well, that's the same thing. Go with me back to Romans chapter 11. And so, again, he wants to provoke us. He says here that if some of them branches were broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, verse 17, with them partakers of the root fatness, boast not against thy branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Yes. Well, because of unbelief were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. He's not making a doctrinal statement that you can lose your salvation. Remember what Paul's saying. He's saying, like, who's the true Jew then? He's talking about the Gentiles. It goes all the way back to Acts chapter 15, using the hyperbole, using the argument of that, well, listen, we Jews by birth, we don't keep the law. And these Gentiles who aren't by birth Jews, but yet they want to keep the law. Then he goes, if keeping the law makes you a Jew, then who is the true Jew? If you're going to use that as a standard, let me put it another way. If you were to take the love that I have for my wife right now, today, all right? The love that I have with her after 38 years of being with her, just there, and say, this is the standard of what love is, and compare it to the day we got married, and say, then I didn't love my wife. Because all I wanted was cake and the honeymoon. That's it. I said the words, give me the girl. That was it. And I loved her as much as I could, but if the standard of love is what I know now and what I feel for her now is the standard of love, then if I compare that to 38 years ago, then I didn't love my wife. That's all Paul's trying to do here. I did love my wife as much as I could and what I knew and all that, but it has grown. Well, that could be diagnostic. Today, if you love your spouse less today than when you got married, there's something wrong there. It's the same way if you were to compare the love and the appreciation, the faith that I have in God today, and said that's what I needed to have on the day I got saved, then there's no way. So that's all Paul is saying here. He's not making a doctrine out of that. He's just saying, he's already said the verse before, which gives it context. Don't be high-minded. If you broke off the natural, what about you? Don't be high-minded. It's not that he's going to do that. He's trying to get a point across to you. Verse 22, behold, therefore, the goodness and the severity of God, and them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou also shall be cut off. Look, he's going back to what Jesus said in John chapter 15, which Jesus is going all the way back to the Old Testament about that I am the vine and you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Theologically, you become born again, you're saved, Jesus Christ, your Savior, Lord, you're going to heaven. There's not one thing you have to do. You get to participate. But as long as you're abiding in Christ and doing his will, then you get to participate. If not, and let's keep this right here. Verse 22, understand this, otherwise that shall be cut off. Not from salvation he's talking about. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. So it doesn't sound like Israel was lost all forever. They're going to come into faith. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted in, contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Understand Romans 9, 10, 11, Israel's past, its present, and its future is that they're coming. The word of God is true, that they're going to come back collectively as a nation to God, but only a remnant's going to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior and your Lord. There is going to be a third temple. There is going to be an Antichrist. There is going to be a desecration of it. There is going to be a seven-year tribulation period. You and I aren't going to be there for that because, again, we know about the rapture of the church. but the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree. For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. This is the context. They're broken off right now, but God's going to deal again with the nation of Israel, but you and I, that's why, that's why I like to evangelize. I mean, I have an ulterior motive. I would literally like to be the one who witnesses to the last person, the last Gentile to get saved, and we're all up in heaven. But I know what's going to happen. I'm going to witness to some guy, and then he's going to share Christ with somebody. They give their lives to the Lord, and everyone's going to just give a parade for him. And it's going to be like back in the day in the 70s, it was like shopper, you secret shopper, and the person lying, hey, you get the grand prize. You know what happened in the 70s? When it was like we got to a certain shopper, and if you were that shopper in line, and like, oh, congratulations, people were letting people cut in line. People weren't like, oh, hey, by all means, you only got a few things, and they got a few things, and then the big surprise happened. Hey, you're the millionth shopper, and you're the person behind them. That's all you're known for. That's how I feel. That's it. I'm going to lead somebody to Christ. They're going to lead somebody to Christ. And they get the, hey, and I'm going to be like, I was the one who led him. Okay, doesn't matter. But as soon as the last Gentile gets saved, we're out of here, folks. He tells us here in verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved. How can the church be replaced in Israel? But all Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. This is King David also talking in Psalm 14. For this is my covenant with them when I shall take away their sins. It's quoting from Isaiah. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They're irrevocable, some of your translations say. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Even so have these also not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. How was sending Jews to the gas chambers and to kill them and to burn them showing mercy? How is it being anti-Semitic today that's happening? Listen, and the prophecy tells us one day every nation will be against Israel, and that means America as well, folks. Maybe politically we're still with them. But how is all this anti-Semitism going on? Because the Word of God says they will hate every one of them. Everyone in the world will hate them. Even so, these also have not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. It's why the 10 booms there in Holland were able to hide Jews until they were ratted out, until they were given away. And they were able to hide. And that they tried to go to the concentration camps with them and tried to wear a Star of David and says, no, you're Holland citizens, you're Gentiles, you're not Jews. And because they would love them. They showed mercy, and there's people alive today because they showed mercy to them. Even so have these also not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all, in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon them all. Oh, the depths of the riches of both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. Man, that sounds like a cool song someday. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselors? Man, Paul's going Old Testament on us, because that's right from Job. That's Job, and Job telling me, who's become the counselor of God? Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. What does all mean?
All.
Oh, man, you saved a lot of Bible school tuition right there. All means all. It says unto him, and are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So don't get caught up in thinking the church is Israel and we replace that. Don't get caught up thinking that you can lose your salvation. I really frustrate my Calvinist and Arminius friends. I say, I believe in once saved, always saved. As long as you abide in Christ. Like, no! You got to pick! I'm like, no, might be both truths there, but I don't purport that I'm a counselor to God, that I could tell them how things should operate and how they should be doing it. I'm just thankful that I have salvation. But don't mistake that right now that I understand my position as the Gentile is that I'm provoking my Jewish friends to jealousy, and I do that rather well. But I'm to extend and to show them mercy. I have friends that I'm texting and I'm keeping in contact. They were just one city away from what happened on October 7th. And one of my friends is an Israeli cop. And all the stuff that was going on and just praying for them and talking to them. And then fortunately, the stuff that you've seen even on YouTube or some of the other things or on the news pales in comparison to the things that he unfortunately sent me that was going on there. And it's worse beyond that you could ever think. How could there be so much hatred? But for you and I as Gentiles, I understand the plan of God. That's why my Jewish friends asked me, and he says, why do you love us? I said, because the God I worship is your God. What? That's why when in Israel, I teach people, don't let anybody know that you're a Christian. Don't say you're a Christian, because that means the Crusades, rape and pillaging the country, convert or die. That's what Christian means to Israelis. Just say, I'm a believer. Now you're in a conversation. You're a believer. I said, yeah. Are you a Christian? Say no. You're not lying, because they have a different term for Christians. You're not lying. Just say, I'm a believer. And say, and believe in what? In the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Ooh. Well, tell me more. Tell me more. And that's why I'm able to give my Israeli friends, and he says, well, you've got a different Bible. You've got a different Bible. So no, it's the same Bible. Got a Hebrew-English Bible. And of course, you do it this way. I got a Hebrew-English Bible. And right here, it says what you would have the Tanakh, your Old Testament. He goes, but you have an extra Bible. I said, no, no, no. Do you know how in school you have your workbook, you have your math book, you have your... He goes, yeah, and you have to ask all the questions. Where are the answers? He goes, well, they're in the back. The answer key's in the back. That's what the New Testament is. It's the answer key. Now, he's not a believer, but he goes around with his Hebrew-English Bible, and he goes, I've got the answers. This is a guy who says, I said, have you read the answers? No, not yet, but it's just cool. And he goes around and he explains, but they go, what's up with your friend Chick? He goes, oh, his Bible has the answers. Oh, tell me more. I've handed out more Bibles because of that. He still hasn't come to know Jesus, but I'm making him jealous. Lord Jesus, thank you that's our goal, to make them jealous because of what? This relationship with God that we have with you that makes us sure that we'll go to heaven. That's you, Jesus. So Yeshua, just come into each and every one of our lives. May we just live boldly for you, that God, you are worthy of praise and honor and glory. That we would leave here today more on fire, more convicted, more committed, more submitted, more in love with you. And that God, that we can extend and show mercy. I believe there's a God, because just if one Jew exists, then your word is true, O Lord. And that will cause me. So Lord, may we just continue to do that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, the Lord bless you, and have a great day. Hey, downstairs, there's coffee and carbs. We have decaf there. It's just called hot water. And then Brendan has merch down there. That's the way to support them. Go down there. So here's the thing. You got CDs or drives? You got music? Listen, if you like his stuff, go get it. If you hate his stuff, buy more and burn it. All right, buy them out. Say, I don't want anyone to have it. I'm buying all this stuff. I hate this stuff. You drive me crazy or whatever. I'm going to make sure no one gets it. Pay double if you really hate it. That will show him. Would you like that? I hate this. All right? But if you came here and you didn't have funds today and you want one CD for you, all right, come and talk to me and we'll take care of it as a church. So if you want, pick out the thing. And did you sing any songs today that are on your CDs? Yeah, so that's the song you want. So everything he's saying today is not on any of his CDs. But come tonight. And at the coffee house. Hey, remember, we're doing live bait productions. It's minimum age is 12, all right? Minimum age 12, so it's not a running around, agape feast type thing there. We're trying to have a salvation station there on Sunday night. So live bait productions. We started off with Brendan here. We're doing those again. So minimum age is 12, and that's physically and mentally. Minimum age is 12, so... we'll go from there. Hey, go on downstairs, go fellowship with them, go buy the junk, the Jesus junk, all the merch, do all the stuff, support them. If you want something,